You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Charges against a South Dakota ranching family have been dropped in a land dispute. Charles and Heather Maud were indicted on federal charges for allegedly taking 50 acres of national grassland. The Trump administration announced that they were dropping those charges late last week, and now the U.S. Department of Agriculture will investigate charges of government overreach in the case. Jonathan Ellis is co-founder of the Dakota Scout. He is our Dakota political junkie today. He sat down with me in SDPB's Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls.
Well, last year, last June, they were indicted by a federal grand jury on...
Who?
Charles and Heather Maud. Thank you. We should get to that part, the who part. And they have two young children. They went West River out there, sort of. They have a ranch that's kind of along the Cheyenne River, Buffalo Gap, grassland. And there was sort of a contention that the government made, the Forest Service made, that they had wrongly fenced off approximately 25 to 50 acres of land that should have been grassland, and that they were using that and appropriated that in some sense for grazing. And it was an interesting dispute. I mean, supporters of the Maud family said that that fence had been in existence since the 1950s, that fence line, that this was not new.
They were agreed to do a survey. They had a meeting in the Forest Service office. They agreed to do a survey. A survey crew went out there, and that was done. But even before, I guess, from my understanding, even before the complete results of that survey were in, they went ahead and moved forward with the criminal indictment. My reporting is that people in that community were surprised at how quickly that escalated into something, whereas something that's usually just done very administratively, to my understanding. I'm also, I've been told that it's not unusual for these sort of survey issues to take place. I mean, a lot of this was done way back when. And one of the points that, again, going back to their supporters, the family supporters, is that there along the Cheyenne River, that has shifted quite a bit. The course of the river has shifted quite a bit over the years. And so the lines have sort of been blurred in some sense. So they definitely had their supporters. And you saw a lot of political muscle get involved in this deal. I get the most recent, of course, is that the government dropped its indictment of them. And so my understanding is no longer under threat of criminal prosecution.
All right. So what happens? A lot of political muscle. There's a press conference at some point with...
Yeah, Brooke Rollins, the USDA secretary. Yeah, so she sort of, I would say, emceed it in a way. You had Governor Larry Roden out there. You had... two-thirds of our congressional delegation, Senator Mike Rounds. My understanding, early on, Wyoming Representative Harriet Hegman and Senator Rounds early on were involved in this, writing letters on their behalf to then USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack. Mm. Dusty Johnson got involved. Governor Roden contended in his speech that he this is at the press conference in Washington that he'd been working behind the scenes to try to help them out, and so there was a lot of political muscle brought in on behalf of this family, and really it kind of took across the state in certain political circles it became kind of a big deal.
What's happening with the big deal that it became? Why now?
Just kind of a land dispute with the federal government, right?
Yeah, changing administrations, governor's race, all that plays in?
Yeah, I suppose there's some of that plays into it. But even before some of that, the whole prospect of a family getting sideways with the federal government, with a powerful federal government, that has a lot of appeal to some people, like, hey, why is the federal government bullying these people?
Right, so it's public land. Was the accusation that they had
fenced off
the accusation, which has now been dismissed
correct.
In the court, was that they had moved their fence line to take over land that belongs to the public, essentially.
Correct. That belonged to the federal grasslands.
Okay. What happens next? Anything?
Civil
cases?
No? Well, I mean, there's that's always a prospect that could happen. I mean, you know, if in fact, and we never did see the outcome of the survey, but if in fact that the survey were to show that, you know, they had fenced off at some point in the family history, fenced off public land, I mean, there's probably going to be some kind of negotiation about that, what to do.
For now, dismissed criminal charges. Yeah.
For now, yes. Yep. It's gone. It's done.
All right. Impact on the family.
You know, early on, it was my understanding that the family had, well, for one thing, they were indicted separately. The husband and wife were indicted separately, and they were released on, you know, when they were released out on bail, you know, the standard admonishment was. They did this. Judges do this all the time. That co-defendants aren't supposed to talk with each other. No communication. Well, obviously that's impossible with this with the husband and wife. And so the admonishment was that you can't talk about this case. They had to go through either a family spokesperson who was one of a friend or their lawyers. So in theory, they couldn't talk about the case while they were. But it was my understanding that at least early on that they were concerned that they might be arrested, they sent their two children to live, you know, with family or friends. So,
All right, what else are you working on? What's happening in the world of state politics now?
Well, right now, I mean, I'm writing transportation stories and some stuff like that. I'm writing a story about an issue in Yankton that is got a lot of people in that community talking about a piece of land that the Yankton City Commission had sold off a couple years ago for a gun manufacturer, and there were questions about, you know, what was going on, how come there hasn't been more progress in terms of seeing people employed there, and I talked to the owner of that company yesterday, and he said everything is moving forward the way we expected it to. We were never going to employ, you know, 30 people. We were only going to employ a handful of people, and we were going to make these precision parts. And so there's been a kind of the city says that the landowners fulfilled all of their, you know, obligations to the city. So, you know, that's an interesting issue down in Yankton. A lot of people in the community have been talking about that.
So we do have our first declared candidate for a governor's race in John Hanson and Carla Lems. And do you see other people positioning themselves, announcements? What do you make of the governor's race right now? What are your personal thoughts?
Well, behind the scenes, there's a lot of that going on, a lot of positioning. And I'm beginning to hear that probably Marty Jackley might be running for attorney general again. And then that's not confirmed. I'm sure Marty could call me after he hears this and say, hey, but you know, we kind of thought going into before Donald Trump was elected and then Kristi Noem was moved out into his administration, that it seemed that the presumptive head to head on the Republican side would be Dusty Johnson and Jackley. Mm. Now that's really reversed with Larry Roden. That's changed. The dynamic has changed quite a bit with Larry Roden being governor now and given sort of an opportunity to run somewhat as an incumbent.
Yeah.
So that dynamic has changed. But you see a lot of behind-the-scenes positioning, for sure.
Yeah. Is he behaving like a candidate who wants to run again?
Is Larry Roden?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In what way?
Absolutely. I think he's back in Sioux Falls. He's doing these economic development tours. He's touring this, going around the state. Obviously on official business, but
right.
But you know, that's getting him out into the communities, and that serves a dual purpose.
And one of the first things people asked me when he became governor was again and again, who's Larry Roden? And not everybody knew who he was.
Correct.
As lieutenant governor, he served with a very high profile governor. So getting his name recognition in places where people might not know him is a very smart move as governor, but also a smart political move for the future.
For sure.
Sure.
Yep.
How about Congressman Johnson? Do we see him making moves into a campaign for governor? Does he go up against Roden, do you think?
Well, I will say this. He's got a lot of money to be able to do it. And I think Dusty Johnson has been popular throughout his political career. But he's also, I think, rubbed some of the more hardcore Donald Trump people too. who are maybe looking for a conservative alternative, and that's where John Hanson hopes to fill that void.
Yeah, you think he has a strong chance? The first early polling numbers, you know, shows that he has a long hill to climb, but those are pretty early numbers.
They are. I don't take a whole lot of stock in polling at this time. You know, it'll be interesting to see, and a lot of these races depend on how much support you can get financially.
Yeah.
And how much money can he, you know, he raise? I frankly was surprised that he decided to run. I mean, I thought of him as maybe an attorney general candidate.
Interesting. Yeah.
So it did surprise me when I was hearing that he was actually going to run. So.
How do you think the race for Sioux Falls mayor is going to impact who the Democrats put up as a gubernatorial candidate, if at all?
I haven't thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we had Jamie Smith on our podcast last week, and we asked him about running, and he says, you know, I haven't, you know, I wouldn't rule it out necessarily. So he didn't say no. He's
running
not
for governor,
for mayor,
or for mayor,
for mayor.
Okay, he didn't rule out running for mayor.
Right. So obviously he was their governor candidate, and ran fairly strongly and did very well in Sioux Falls. So you've got to think that he's going to be an early potential favorite. Now, what that does, I mean that eliminates a candidate, a strong candidate, where for a political party that doesn't have a particularly deep bench.